Type Podcast.
Here we go. Hello, hello, around the block and around the world. This is where we discuss, debate, and deliberate all things diabetes. And there's a lot. Representing Type 2, my name is Dobie Maxwell. Representing Type 1 with pride, the vivacious, effervescent, and always in the know, Ms. Sammy Parker. We'll get to Sammy in seconds. But first, today's episode of Just My Type is brought to you by the Diabetes App. It's a free social community app that brings together both type 1 and type 2 diabetics, plus their supporters. You can find community, resources, and Sammy and me on the Diabetes App. Let's get this party started. Sammy, once again, we are fortunate to have a fantastically distinguished guest, and I'll let you introduce this nice lady.
Yes, I'm so excited to announce our guest is Allison Nimlas, a type 1 diabetic and also a therapist. She works with a lot of diabetics, and I'll pass it off to Allison so she can kind of explain what she does and her career.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Yeah, so I have lived with type 1 diabetes for 28 years, and I am a licensed associate marriage and family therapist in Minnesota. And I work in private practice. I focus mostly on people who have a chronic illness. And of course, having type 1 diabetes, a lot of people in Minnesota with diabetes come to see me, and we work on a range of issues from adjusting to a diagnosis, anxiety around blood sugars, relationship concerns, really runs a whole gamut of things.
What's funny is I actually remember reaching out to you. It was a while ago now. I was looking into like different LMFT programs, which is like licensed in marriage family therapy for post-grad for people who are wondering. And I was really like I was pretty set on it at the time. And I remember I found you and I was like, oh my gosh, she does exactly what I'm thinking of doing. And I was like aggressively asking you. And I was like, she's probably like, oh my gosh, this girl's asking so many questions. But it was so helpful. And I just think it's so rewarding what you do and how you are able to help so many people. And I was telling Dobie, I was so excited because I feel like you're going to be able to share a lot of knowledge on your part.
Well, it almost seems like, Allison, that your career found you. I mean, you made the best of your diagnosis to become a therapist to help others, but I don't think you could help them as much if you didn't have it yourself. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is probably, you could think of this as like my third career, actually. So I started off in working in public relations. We were talking about our favorite city that we would want to move to before we started this call. And I said, New York City. And I lived there and worked in PR in Manhattan for a few years and didn't find it as rewarding as I thought I would. I don't even know if that was really a value, but it certainly ended up not being where I wanted to pursue my time. And I ended up being able to transition into working for a website called Diabetes Mine. They're owned by Healthline now. And I was assistant editor. So what that really meant was I was more of like a writer, and I sometimes edited guest pieces, but I mostly wrote about everything diabetes, absolutely anything, any topic, any issue, any concern, any device, diets, exercise, events, conferences. We would go to conferences and we would talk to people about what they were learning about diabetes and the medical devices that were being created. And I really enjoyed it. I love learning about diabetes. I'm kind of a diabetes geek. I love knowing as much as I can possibly know about diabetes.
Same.
I think it's like an anxiety relief for me. I think that like the more I know, the less anxious I feel about all of it. And so I did that for a while and really enjoyed it. But I think one of the things that I started noticing was I really didn't know where any of this information was going. I was writing about it and we were sort of putting it out into the blogosphere, as we called it back then. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really know if it was helping anyone. And so I decided after a while that I really wanted to work with people. I wanted to understand their unique personal challenges and to really have a tangible sense that I was making a difference for people. Even if it wasn't as broad of a reach as a website, I really wanted to know that I was helping people. And I took some time to kind of figure out how I wanted to do that. I thought about doing dietetics or nursing to become a diabetes educator, but When I really thought about it, the thing that I kept coming back to was the mental health piece. That's just the missing component. And so, I found counseling.
So awesome.
It is awesome. And what Sammy and I are trying to do is make mental health and seeking counseling not a stigma, not anything to be embarrassed about, because so many people are, and so many people that don't have it look at you down, you know, in a bad way. So thank you for being on to perpetuate what we are trying to do as well. It's like, hey, it's totally okay. And the benefits are 10 times worth what any embarrassment mm-hmm. that you might go through.
Yeah, I think, because for me, that was kind of like the same thing I thought of. Honestly, and I started a master's now in exercise physiology. So my missing component was like exercise with diabetes. But I thought for a while, like, oh yeah, like, okay, diabetes educator, nursing, you know, dietetics. I was like, okay, I like all those things, but I don't think I need to be having like a full on degree extra career in that. And it's great though, because I had, like, I remember before I went to a therapist, I was really like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I need to go to the therapist for it. Like, I was like, I'm totally fine. I talk about it to my friends. I go on walks and talks. Like, and now I've gone to my therapist for 4 years, and it's great because it's just so beneficial to be able to just talk about it, and especially also like an unbiased source. So it's definitely given me just like a lot of relief when I'm just like, oh my God, today was the worst day ever. And then I just relay it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to your point, yeah, there are a few different ways you can become a diabetes educator. And I think when I was thinking about how do I really want to help people, do I just want to focus on what they should be eating or adjusting their basal rate? Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, that's important. That's a part of it. But it did feel like mental health was this just missing component to living a really good, meaningful life.
Yeah.
With diabetes, to really enhance the quality of life beyond just the management component, which is also important. Mental health is part of diabetes management. It shouldn't be thought of like as a separate category or separate thing, like over here.
Yeah.
You know, that there's diabetes management and then mental health over on the side. It's really that we should be thinking of mental health as being a part of that diabetes management kind of umbrella. And so that's what I promote. And having basal rates that work, that you're not like blood sugars and dropping all the time or going high all the time, that's going to affect your mental health. And so these things really work in tandem together.
All right, Allison, if you don't mind, let's circle back. We usually get our guest diagnosis stories, but you went in an interesting tangent. I didn't want to interrupt you, but just if you don't mind sharing your story with us.
It's probably because I don't find my story very interesting.
Mine wasn't either, don't worry.
We'll be the judge of that.
It's just like, I don't know, classic child was getting diagnosed with diabetes. Well, I guess it's maybe a little funny kind of in retrospect. So I was 8 years old when I was diagnosed, and I remember waking up, and I don't know, I can't quite recall if this was really something that I was experiencing or if I was just trying to get out of school, but I told my mom that my ear hurt. I had an earache.
Okay.
I don't actually know if I had an earache or if I was just telling my mom I had an earache so I didn't have to go to school. But in any event, she took me to the doctor. And while we were there, I remember sitting on the table and just kind of like doing my thing. I'm, you know, 8 years old. And I remember like my mom and the pediatrician kind of going off to the side, kind of talking to each other. And like, I think I remember her saying something about like drinking a lot and going to the bathroom a lot. So I had those classic T1D symptoms. And
yeah,
the pediatrician was like, okay. And so they said, you know, okay, we're going to have you do a urine sample. And so they gave me the cup and I went into the bathroom. It did that. And then they said, okay, well, we'll call you with the results in a few hours. And so we went home. And if you can imagine like having to wait, like this day and age, you know, technology is so different, but like went home and got a call a few hours later that I had type 1 diabetes. And they said, you need to go to the hospital. And so we went to the hospital. That was like the beginning. You know, I mean, that wasn't just
the beginning of the long journey.
How long were you in?
Looking back, I would have said like a week, but I think my mom said like 2.5 days. I mean, it was...
It's different for an 8-year-old kid. It's a whole different...
It felt like eons. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm the only, like, honestly, I'm the only one so far that's been type 1 that hasn't gone to the hospital. And I think honestly, that's because my doctor was like, he's a very like, very kind of like conservative doctor as far as like medications goes and like taking extreme measures. I've had him since I was born, but he's awesome. And he was just like, you know what? Like, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to like give you fluid. They're not going to give you the insulin right now. He's like, they hadn't officially diagnosed me yet. as far as like going to get the blood work done and all that. So he's like, just go home, because it was Saturday and Sunday. And he was like, and Monday, you'll go to Children's Hospital. But if you eat, like, you know, basically no carbs in the beginning, since your pancreas is still in the honeymoon phase. Dobie, the honeymoon phase means your pancreas is still secreting some insulin, but isn't completely.
My pancreas is like an old married couple. It fights with the rest of my body.
That's a really good analogy.
Shakes its fist at it.
I'm going to make sure we get that like quoted.
Well, that's what we're
doing. My pancreas is like an old married couple.
His relationship with my body. Well, Alice, now Alice asked this because I do have compassion for you. But now Sammy was 12 when she had hers. You were 8. How did the needles affect a kid? I hated needles as a kid. I hate them now. I mean, snakes, spiders, I can take needles. How did that go over with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, so yeah, this is one of like my vivid memories of being in the hospital the first time they needed to prick my finger. Mm. And I remember being petrified, just like,
absolutely,
yeah, no. And like the nurse demonstrated it. And I don't think I had any kind of tantrum or anything like that. But I just remember like, you want me to do what?
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then you like, you know, you realize what it actually feels like. And you're like, okay, well, that's not like, this isn't fun, but it's like not that bad.
Sure.
I don't remember the injections though. That's a really good, I don't really have any like memory of, I do know that I started giving myself my own injections pretty early because
same.
I did not want my parents coming near me. There's something very disconcerting about having somebody else doing it.
I literally said this on an episode. I don't remember which one it was, but I said, I was like, there's something about when your parents are doing it to you or somebody else versus when you know you're hurting yourself. It's like psychologically, you're like, okay, well, I'm doing it to myself. So obviously I wouldn't be hurting myself.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt as bad.
It's just you, and you know when it's going to happen. I think
yes,
just, there's some, though, like the reflex isn't there the same. Nowadays, though, ironically, I hate injections. I'm on an insulin pump, and my skin, I think, has changed. Like it hurts. It hurts me now. Yeah. So I am really glad to be on an insulin pump for that reason. But as a kid, yeah, I don't really remember being. Nothing, no, I don't have a memory that sticks out, but the finger prick, oh man, that is like vivid, seared in my brain kind of memory.
Yep.
Dobie, when Dobie comes out here, I'm going to make sure I finger prick him. It's going to be really fun.
Well, it's funny because my grandparents raised me and my grandmother was very German and very non-compassionate. I didn't have it then, but if I did, she would have just taken the needle 4 feet long and jabbed it through my ear, coming out the other ear. And I was just, oh, don't cry. Come on, be big, big boy. Boom.
Yeah.
And that's why I think therapy is needed, because there are horrible memories of people's parents that weren't compassionate about it. Did anybody else in your family have diabetes besides you?
Not close, no. But you're right. I mean, a lot of people don't have good role models, you know, either because their extended family members, technology has changed so much over the years. So they have sort of these, you know, memories or experiences with family members. The way that it's being introduced by the healthcare professionals is not very compassionate. You know, it's sort of all these scary stories of all the things that are going to happen if you don't take care of yourself just right.
Yeah.
And it can be traumatizing, whether you're a child or an adult. I mean, I just hear stories from clients and from people who send me messages, just all the things that their providers, and if they're young enough, then their parents like kind of parrot what the healthcare professionals are saying about blood sugars and complications. And,
totally.
Yeah. All kinds of scary stuff that can really make it difficult to then want to engage with diabetes.
That's where you come in. Allison Nimlos is our guest. We're going to take a quick break right now while we have this. Lots more to talk about. Thanks so much for being here. She is Sammy Parker. My name is Dobie Maxwell. This is Just My Type, the Diabetes Podcast. We'll be right back. The Diabetes App is an online community platform that was created to help people living with diabetes find support and information in one spot.
And on the Diabetes App, you can join groups and connect with other people all over the world who are also living with diabetes. I mean, for me, whenever I have a bad day, I find myself scrolling through the mental wellness group just to reassure myself that I'm not alone.
The Diabetes App has a resource section where you can find articles, recipes, tips, and tricks for managing your diabetes. Download the Diabetes App today and connect with us right on the app.
DieStrong is an online telehealth platform that connects you to medical and holistic professionals to help you manage your diabetes. Find registered dietitians, nutritionists, certified diabetes educators, and more without the hassle of having to go into a doctor's office.
Wait. You mean a lazy bum like me can have appointments right from my computer? Sign me up.
That's right, Dobie. And this week, our listeners can use promo code JMT25 for 25% off their first visit.
Yeah, don't try to cheat and go to JMT26 because you're not going to get 26. It's 25. Go to www.diastronghealth.com. That's www.diastronghealth.com.
Dobie.
Yes, ma'am.
Again, we're always having fun and we have Miss Allison on with us. So thank you again, Allison, for joining us. I think it would be awesome if we could just talk about diabetes burnout and maybe some strategies for coping with it, because I know me and Dobie have definitely felt it ourselves. I'm sure you have.
Everybody feels it.
Everybody feels it. So if you have like any kind of tips and tricks, we'd love to hear them. And I'm definitely going to be writing them down.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to really normalize burnout. That burnout does not mean that anybody is doing something wrong. Burnout shows up in so many areas of life, from work. Anytime that we're doing something stressful that we don't get a break from, we're going to experience burnout. Like, we're not meant to do something like this all the time. So I think that's the very first thing I always recommend for my clients and for people that I work with, is really just to normalize and validate, show yourself some compassion that you're not doing anything wrong. You're not a failure because it feels hard. It feels hard because it is hard.
Yeah.
And I think as far as some strategies, what I always like to point out is that research has actually shown that there are subtypes to diabetes distress. There's actually seven subtypes. And you can go to, this isn't my website, but you can go to diabetesdistress.org and you can actually take a self-assessment to learn a little bit more about the different areas where you're feeling distress. It helps to kind of target a little bit more about where is that distress coming from? What are some of those contributing factors? And then what I usually help people with is, once we can kind of get a sense of where is it coming from, then we can start taking some proactive steps to reducing it, mitigating it, adding things, taking things away. So if some of the distress is coming from, let's say, food, we might want to look at, okay, well, what is kind of contributing to this, you know, food distress? Is it feeling like I don't understand why my blood sugars are reacting the way that they are? I feel like I'm being pressured to eat or not eat a certain way. And then you can really help people with diabetes understand, this is my experience. And they can take some ownership of their experience rather than feeling like I'm just sort of powerless.
Yeah.
I have a question. Allison, I know somebody listening is feeling, I would like to try therapy. I think I can use it. I'm afraid to reach out. What do I do? Who do I contact? Could you help us with that?
Yeah. So this is a big question that I get all the time, because people say, well, I don't know a therapist with diabetes. And obviously, I think there is some value to having a therapist with diabetes. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a therapist.
Big time. Oh, yes.
But at the same time, I think I also want to encourage people who are listening to know that it's really about competency. It's really about a person with diabetes finding a therapist who is curious about their experience, who is knowledgeable about the impact of chronic illness, regardless of whether or not they have it. Listen, I work with tons of clients who I don't have their chronic illness. I've worked with people with rheumatoid arthritis, with Crohn's disease, with chronic pain. I don't have those, but I'm able to help them.
Yeah.
Because I have a competency in that area. I've also worked with people who are divorced. I work with men. I've worked with the LGBTQ community, and I'm none of those things. And the reason why professionals can do this is because we have training, we have
totally
experience, we have a knowledge base that we are not pulling just from our own experience and then translating it into how we're going to help people. And so while having diabetes, I think, definitely gives a certain element of understanding and empathy, and there's a shorthand, and I ask questions and I can give feedback in a way that they probably won't get from somebody who doesn't have diabetes. But that doesn't mean that somebody, a therapist without diabetes, is going to be incapable of helping. And so I like to kind of normalize that most therapists are working with clients who they don't share that life experience with, and that's okay. We're used to that. and we can handle it. But you do want to find somebody who you have a good rapport with, who feels like they're really listening, yeah, and who can help with those coping strategies, which in a lot of ways are very similar across the board, you know, dealing with grief, dealing with anxiety, dealing with relationship issues. They show up in our lives and they show up in the lives of everybody.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally too, like since I was diagnosed in middle school, it was like kind of every different phase or age group, I had like different emotions, you know, different relationships come into play. I'm navigating being at, you know, in middle school, going into high school, then going into college. And it's like, okay, how do you date somebody? Like me and Dobie talked about dating on an episode. It's like, how do you date somebody with diabetes? Like when you have diabetes, communicating it and dealing with like the devices on you. And it's like, it's awkward things that everybody wants, knows and thinks about, but they're unspoken. And I feel like for me, at least talking about it with my therapist, he, and it's funny because a lot of people are like, you went to a guy therapist or you go to a guy therapist. I'm like, yeah, it's great. And it's funny because he's like the same age as my dad, but it's just so different, you know, because I'm obviously he's a medical professional, but it's just helped so much. And it makes you, it's like a normalization for it, especially.
Yeah. And I usually, for people who are, you know, a couple of resources for people who are trying to find, you know, names, a website that I often refer people to finding a therapist is psychologytoday.com. They have like a directory of therapists all over the country. They may even have directories for therapists outside of the country, like in Canada. And you can search by, you know, your insurance, and you can search by location, demographic. You can find a female or male therapist. So that's one place. And then the American Diabetes Association also has a directory of mental health providers who have indicated that they have a specialization in diabetes. So whether or not they themselves have diabetes, they are in that directory because they have shown that they have experience helping people with diabetes. So those are the two places to get some names.
Now, Allison, you've got an event coming up that you'd like to tell us about. It's virtual, so people don't have to leave their couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is virtual. It's the Diabetes and Mental Health Conference, and it is happening next weekend. So there's still time to register. We have a great lineup of mental health professionals, many of whom have diabetes, and we're going to be talking about a lot of these issues. We're going to be talking about diabetes burnout, diabetes psychology. We have a session on how to find a diabetes competent therapist.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about self-compassion. I mentioned that earlier. We're going to have a whole session just on that. And so we're really going to be diving deep into a lot of issues around diabetes and mental health that honestly don't get a lot of airtime at other diabetes conferences. This is solely dedicated to diabetes and mental health. We're really excited to be able to put this on. We have some amazing faculty, world-renowned researchers and speakers, and people can find out more if they head over to dmhconference.vfairs.com.
And another thing, an event you guys could have is how to find a good podcast you can listen to while you're exercising.
Just my type podcast.
JMP. Plug, plug, plug.
Yeah.
Sammy, the time goes faster every episode. We have more fun. I appreciate the guests that you bring. Let's put the cherry on the sundae.
Allison has been amazing. And we thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you know and have learned over the years with diabetes and mental health. For this question of the pod, though, Allison, do you want to ask it?
Sure. Do you see a therapist for your mental health?
Yes. And we would love if you guys could please share that response and comment on all social media. So on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at justmytypepod_, and answer that question. Do you see a therapist for your mental health?
And if you don't, there's no stigma against that. You know, look into it. Allison, open up some great doors for you to explore. Thank you for that, Allison.
Yeah. You can share it on Facebook too at justmytypepod. And our hashtag is justmytypepod. You can find Allison at The Diabetic Therapist on Instagram. And she provides a lot of different great tools and different postings about different strategies and feeling out in the open about your diabetes. And also, it would be great if you guys could please leave a review. We would love to see that wink, wink, 5-star review. Just helps engage the diabetes community, and we really want to make it a place that people come to listen and feel like they are not alone. So again, find Allison at The Diabetic Therapist on Instagram, and find us at the Just My Type Pod.
And a quick shout out, as we do in every episode, a comedian friend of mine, Dave Mancarelli, wonderful guy. He's on the radio in Reno, Nevada, along with our friend Bill Schultz, who had you and I on, Sammy.
Yeah,
so we're big in Reno. Yeah, we appreciate that. So thanks to Dave for listening. And thanks to Allison for being with us as well. Sammy, let's end it this time. What's up?
Say la vie, baby.
This is the Just My Type Podcast.